This is the Klingon Podcast, coming to you from Starbase Indy 2017. Have you ever wondered how songs in Klingon Hole are created? Let's join Chris Lipscomb, Jeremy Cohen, and the Klingon pop warrior Jen Baum as they discuss this process.
Welcome to the Translating Songs into Klingon panel. I'm your host. I am Jen Baum, the Klingon pop warrior. You may have just heard me in the main stage. The first thing that I ever translated into Klingon, is technically, if you want to count some of the stories that I did for Kepa, but I don't really count those. But like the first official thing that I translated, I helped to translate Mother for my most recent EP. John did a good chunk of the heavy lifting with the grammar and stuff, but the two of us together, like, pounded heads together and like pow, we powed, but we kind of bashed that out together, and I did some of the cultural translation side of things, and then we helped find words to sort of describe what we needed to describe, and it was really tricky.
All right, I am Jeremy or John Shi. I have been a member of the Klingon Language Institute since 1992. Yeah, I guess 1992. So, long time. And of course, the Klingon Language Institute used to put out Cholched. I think my earliest translation was a translation of my own thing, but it was at that stage, I was definitely not creating Klingon spontaneously at all. So, translated a joke that I wrote to put in Cholched. May have been for a competition or something, I don't remember. But it's there. You can go back to the old issues. I'm not sure it's very good, either as a joke or as a translation.
It might be. We'll go read it and make fun of you.
It might be. It was a basic light bulb joke, but it was actually a door. Like, how many Klingons does it take to open a door or something like that? I don't remember. I don't actually remember the joke, but I'll call that my first translation.
Nice.
My name is Chris. My name is Kur. It means beans. The first thing I ever translated into Klingon was probably my French homework, because I didn't want to translate it in French. So I translated it into Klingon instead. The first thing I ever released that the public ever saw, more than other people, was a translation of the first scene of Macbeth. I posted it on the KLI mailing list, and it promptly got torn to shreds. But I'd learned a lot from that post. So.
They're very good about teaching you a lot when you screw up.
Jen Baum had some advantage over either of us, that there was already, she was actually able to come into a big group and got a lot of instruction before she tried, and did a bunch of the online lessons. Those weren't available for us.
I had a book and two tapes.
Actually, it's funny because, you know, I just said that the first thing that I ever translated was Mother, but that's not true.
Yeah.
The first thing I ever started to translate was the song Glamazon by RuPaul, and I posted the first verse on the Learn Klingon page, and I actually was really proud because I did not do that badly. And I had
very good.
And at that point, like, I wasn't even like remotely, like, this year or this past year, I just passed the level one beginner test, and at that point I didn't even have any of that. Like, I was looking up every single word and every single bit of grammar that I needed to do it, and there were just like a couple, like, I think that the most of the things that I got critiqued on were more like cultural, like, mm-hmm. Well, we wouldn't necessarily say it that way, but like this, and I'm like, awesome. Those are the kind I was really excited, because it meant that I got most of the grammar right, and that's the tricky part. I have on here a little thing, just some stuff about the Klingon language, brief history of the language. I think most people, if you were here earlier for the fun with Mark Okrand, he talked very in-depth about where it came from, but the bulk of the language was created for Star Trek III. The grammar structure of it is backwards from what we know as Terran speakers, English speakers. It's object-verb-subject instead of subject, verb, object. And it's interesting when you're speaking and when you're writing it, because you're thinking backwards, essentially. You know, you're saying, I go home in English, home go I in Klingon. So you're really kind of having to wrap your brain around that conceptually while you're doing stuff. I feel like these two have the most experience with translation. Chris actually translated a number of songs
got a lot of experience with translation.
And he actually translated a number of the songs for my two EPs that I've done. I'm curious, and Jeremy helped with one of them as well, at least one of them.
I think two. I'm trying to remember what the second one is, but
yeah, I know Chichop you were part of.
I feel like the one of the other ones I might have been, but I don't
know. But I was wondering if you guys can speak to any specific issues, like issues that arise when you're translating specifically into Klingon. Like, what are some of the like very specific kind of Klingon problems when it comes to translation?
Finding the right word, or not finding the right word, is probably the issue.
Yeah, the limited vocabulary is a huge thing. You have to be very creative in getting around the lack of an exact vocabulary match.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell a specific story about, I translated a song from Latin into Klingon. And I mean from Latin. I don't mean I translated a Latin song from English to Klingon. I translated a song from Latin to Klingon and discovered a huge problem. Latin likes these nice, huge, multi-syllabic words. So for the first part of my translation, I said, I'm not gonna worry about rhyming. I'm not going to worry about meter. I'm just going to do a straight translation and then figure out what I need to do to change it. And I wanted it to rhyme. I wanted it to match the meter, all of this stuff. So I translated the song, and each line is like 8 syllables, and my translation was like 3 syllables for each line. And I was like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
All right. Let's think, what suffixes can we add in there without breaking that? And what adverbs can I put on there that aren't really in the Latin? And Latin was using these huge words that Klingon would just pop. Okay, there, information exchanged.
That's actually...
That's a common problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, Klingon is a little more compact. We can get, like, you can take a word in Klingon and turn it into one of those things if you put every single suffix available onto a verb. There are 9 different suffix types. So, like, you can spread out something, you know, like, I learn, je roge. So, I learn, like, there's, I need to learn, je roge nish.
I am learning, je roge ta.
You know, and so, but you can add.
Right, I need to be learning.
Right.
Je roge nish ta.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah, so you can keep adding on. One of the things that I've said, the first EP that I recorded was mostly things that people had already translated. But the second time around, after I'd sort of gotten to established as like, hey, this girl knows what she's doing mostly, and she's doing the language justice. So it was really fun to be able to go to the language community and then ask for translations. That was like a really, it was very gratifying to be able to do that. And
that was a fun experience. Like, one day I just get this email that went out to like 5 or 6 different people going, here's a list of songs I want. And everybody went, I want to do that one, I want to do that one, I want to do that one.
Yeah.
And it's like, you would read, for me at least, I'll read through the list of songs and go, that's a song I know. And the first line will go through my head. And if I can translate that first line in a few seconds, I'm just like, and then I just go, and you stop thinking about it too much, and just start,
and just
like translate, and then you'll hit a barrier, and then you're like, okay, how am I? Let's skip to the next line. And you have to go back and try to figure out how to do these little bits, like Mob Tachrach was one of those loneliness.
My loneliness is killing me.
Right.
Yeah,
it's just like. There's no Klingon word for loneliness. Even though The Simpsons says otherwise.
Interesting.
Huh?
Yeah, what was really interesting about doing that was I basically told people, don't worry about syllables. Don't worry about that. If it's shorter, that's actually almost better. If it's longer, then things get a little tricksy. And I actually had, for the first time with Die Young, I had to ask to change a line when I got the translation for Die Young, because there were just too many syllables, and the way that I was trying to perform it wasn't working. I could talk about. I have a whole little section on my thing here about performing in Klingon. Is there anything like that you think makes it simpler to translate into Klingon?
You mean tricks to make it simpler, or anything about Klingon that actually helps the process?
Both.
Sometimes it's easy to make rhymes because you just go, oh, I'm going to repeat this suffix. And it's rhyme.
Choop, choop, choop.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Especially if you're stuck and there's nothing you can get there to get it to rhyme and you really want it to rhyme, you can always fall back on some of these suffixes. And the nice thing is some of them are also words. So you can use them to have a slightly different meaning but still keep the rhyme.
Which is the exact same in English, too.
Yeah. because Klingon has such a strict syllable structure, it's easy to, you know, if you're like, I want to rhyme this ends in OH, you don't even have to use the same syllable. There's 26 other syllables that end in OH, or 25 other syllables that end in OH. So it's easy to find the rhymes. When I was doing that Latin song and I wanted the rhymes, it actually wasn't that hard to get the rhymes. It was a lot harder to get the rhymes to work the meter because it had a very specific meter. It was like, that rhyme won't work, it destroys my meter, dang it.
See, that's one thing. I love to keep the meter the same so that I can at least, I'm not a singer, but I like to sing in my, you know, when there's no one around. And if I can sing it too, then it's good for me. Like it helps me learn words and practice, and having that, the rhythm is good for the organizing in my brain.
There was one of the songs, one of the group songs we translated, and I don't remember whether it was Chichop or Jientachvish. We were starting, and people were like, well, does this work? Does that work? It was a group effort. We were all using Google Docs. And people were like, well, where's the stress in this song? So actually, the first thing I did was I sat down and wrote out the stress pattern for the whole song for everybody. So that then they could see the stress pattern as they were trying to do the translation and try to figure out where the stresses needed to go on the Klingon words.
Oh, that's cool. Well, I mean, as an actor, especially if you're doing Shakespeare, you do something very similar with you're doing your scansion and you're going through and your iambic pentameter. That's the word that was just gone. I didn't sleep very well last night.
What, not sleep at a convention?
Sleep, yeah. What? Who needs it? I did because I had to sing today. Yeah. So, but now that's over.
This isn't something specifically about Klingon, but one of the things, for instance, in Chichop, the third verse, we decided to dump the English verse.
Yes.
Because we were having a lot of trouble trying to figure out what to do with the third verse. And we basically rewrote the story that's happening in the third verse into Klingon and got this nice little Klingon story happening to finish off the song.
I don't remember how the original goes. But the translation
something
of
about following my father's map?
Or is that we'll take the trail, march down to your father's map.
That's the second line.
Swing.
Yeah. Ding, ding.
I don't remember.
Ding, right, because it's just like, it's so silly.
Come on, yeah. But I love the second verse of that song actually translates to something about like walking next to the wrecked ship.
The wrecked ship, yeah.
And we see the bones of our enemies. And I hit you with them or something like that, which is like a total romance, Klingon romance kind of thing. and then we walk down the path of our fathers or something like that. It's pretty funny. Are there is there anything that's particularly frustrating? I guess maybe we kind of, when you're talking about issues, like frustrations or something like really rewarding, particular rewards of translating into a constructed language or, you know, Klingon and
reward. Besides the
result,
right? Exactly. Well, besides, but also the feeling of accomplishment, being like, I created something that didn't exist prior to me starting to do this.
Right.
That's a good feeling because it's the artistic feeling.
Yeah. Know?
And so it has that element to it when you're writing. Yeah. When you're translating stuff, it definitely. When you're done and you have a finished product and you can sing it along and it scans and it rhymes and you're just like, how did I create this?
part of the problem with the Klingon speaking community is it's so small.
Right.
But that's actually a good thing because you get to a point where you know almost everybody in the Klingon speaking community.
Yep.
And so if somebody takes something that you've done and does something else with it, there's a little, my thing is being a thing.
Yeah.
You know, so when she takes one of the songs and sings it, it's like, that's incredible.
Like Somewhere Over the Rainbow and Charanok Parmache and Hit Me Baby One More Time, those I translated all of those 15 years ago. like years and years and years, long ago before any of this ever came out.
Right.
And I just did it because, I think I did the Britney Spears one because Michelle's daughter was like, there's no Britney Spears songs in Klingon. And so I was like, no, there is now. And then, you know, years later, there's somebody singing it, and it's just like, whoa, this is a very strange, surreal experience at first.
And it creeps my daughter out to no end. Mm.
We talked a little bit about group translations. And I know, Jeremy, you were involved in some group translations.
Yeah, yeah.
And really across the board, not just with song translations, but, you know, with anything. What are some of the benefits that you find, like, as particularly working with a group of people?
Well, I mean, you know, you get a lot of other ideas. You can,
sure.
Sometimes you get stuck somewhere, but somebody else has got some idea for it or things like that.
Well, it's a good benefit, but it's also a downside. Because sometimes people go, no, you should say it this way. And you go, but I want to say it.
You get little arguments, but...
No, how about this? And then you go back and forth, and then someone pulls out some cannon, and someone else pulls out some cannon. And an hour later, you go, oh, okay, we should use this word, and we were both wrong. You know? Something like that. And it's just like, okay.
Yeah.
I guess in doing that, we definitely just covered the other point that I was like, are there issues working with other people?
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes it is really easy to get weighed down in the minutia. I mean, one of the things I enjoy about going to Kepa is kind of watching some of the little arguments that start to ensue over over the course of the weekend, over the finer points of things. And, you know, it's just like, wow, I only know 500 words. And they are like... ripping apart this word I don't know, and it is fascinating.
Yeah, Felix is great for that. If I have a question that I have, like, some tiny little detail, I'll ping him and be like, hey, what do you think about this? And I'll get back an entire essay on the topic. It's just like, thanks, you gave me all the information I ever needed to know.
He is great, yeah. Actually. He's very busy, but he hasn't forgotten about the fact that the song he said he would translate for me is Colors of the Wind. I was hoping to do another Disney song, and that one is actually vocally much more in my wheelhouse than almost any other Disney song there is. But there's almost one of the things that when I said it, I go, I don't know if this is even possible. I think when I wrote the email, I said, I don't know if this song is even possible because it references so many kinds of vegetation and animals and, you know, whatever. I'm like, but if somebody wants to give it a go. And we actually, in the last Kepa, we got a whole bunch of words for a bunch of new like animals and vegetation and stuff like that. I was like, ooh, I wonder if Felix is finally gonna be able to do that translation now. This could get interesting, which is really fun. We were able to change a translation Somewhere Over the Rainbow originally when...
Brightwater Photon.
There was no word for rainbow. So Chris had kind of smooshed these words together, the bright water photon.
I needed a certain number of syllables, and it was the closest contraption I could come up with at the time. Again, this was 10, 15 years ago, so there wasn't a lot of people to talk to. There wasn't a huge like Klingon community like there is today.
Yeah.
Well, there was, but it wasn't as connected as it is today. So.
And that version is actually, there's a video of me singing it online.
The old version.
Last year at Kepa in 2016, we actually got a word for rainbow. And it was two syllables instead of three. And I had to completely relearn the song. Because I had gotten used to singing it with that extra syllable. and trying to keep things. That's one of the things, like, getting into this sort of next section that I had sort of was talking about performing in Klingon and the spit in the syllables that happen. I feel really bad because I really spit into that microphone on stage today, and I'm like, well, I'm not sick. But you definitely there. It was, I think it was on a sound, and it was just like boom, and I'm like, oh, there it goes. and it's an occupational hazard. But the syllables are really fun, and with every song translation I've gotten, it's really, I sang in cover bands for a long time, and so I learned how doing that to make songs more my own in a way so that it was more fun for me to perform. Like, I'm just not doing karaoke or something like that. And when I got the Klingon translations, sometimes even though the syllable count would be exact to the original song, if you really looked at the way that the lines were written, it didn't necessarily want to sing it the exact same way.
Like
because
maybe the stresses weren't in the same
right,
place.
Right, because, you know, it was like, you know, the Love is a Battlefield, I think, is a perfect example of that. There's little things in there where it's, and my book is in the back, so I can't, I it's like I know these songs, but only when I'm standing on stage. And, I knew that the syllables matched up overall, but when I broke it down and parsed it and was like, oh, this line is this line and this line is this line, I'm like, this is going to change how I sing this, because I wanted to make sure that it was chobot, you know, like I chobot ah, and getting that together as much as I could and moving those syllables and keeping the words true to each other. It's definitely been an interesting process to try to stay true to the act. I've been trying really hard to stay true to the language as much as I can, and not necessarily be faithful to the original English songs, but more stay faithful to the language as much as possible. And sometimes I get it right, and sometimes I flail, and sometimes you just can't get all the sounds out that you want to get out. It's really hard going from a to a making the throat go is really tricky. There's a lot of sounds that don't vocally kind of just work well together as an English speaker, and so it's a struggle. It's gotten easier over the years, and I picked things up quicker, and so that's been a really interesting process too. But I was hoping to get Lord, what was it? Lord, oh, was it? Was it? Chopwe, Lord Chopwera.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I was, Chris did a translation of Maneater. And we were going to try to get it done for this weekend, and it just didn't, we couldn't get to it. We couldn't get it done. This has been a really busy month. Picking songs, though, is a really fun process. I look a lot, when I'm looking for songs, I tend to look for stuff that just seems very Klingon. Maneater seemed like a perfect Klingon song. Love is a Battlefield, when I found out there was a translation of Love is a Battlefield, I'm like, of course there's a translation of Love is a Battlefield. I bet that was the first song somebody translated.
It may have been.
But... things like that, and other ones I just like for the silly kitsch factor. Like, I love doing My Heart Will Go On just because it's ridiculous. See, absolutely ridiculous hearing a Klingon sing it, but it's really lovely. And I like it better in Klingon. And it makes sense. I like the fact that I can almost always find a cultural excuse for singing any of these songs. If I dig hard enough, I can make a reason. Do you have a favorite translation that isn't yours?
Songs only, or?
You know what? Both. Something that isn't, and maybe a song that is. Or a song.
Isn't a song and something that is a song?
Yeah, that's where I was going with that.
I think my favorite song is Tak Jajwo. It's just a great piece of music.
Yeah.
And one of the first ever Klingon pieces of music. So it has a lot of history and I don't know.
It's a great, Tak Jajwo is a song we sing every year at Kepa and elsewhere occasionally, but it's really hard.
The first two verses are not hard.
Not hard.
The last verse is ridiculous.
It's utterly ridiculous. And it was done by a Krankor. Krankor Hold. Rich has been in the language community almost since the beginning.
Yeah, longer than I have.
Yeah. And
he is the first person to actually take it seriously enough to speak Klingon.
Yeah.
His book is in our Klingon language raffle package back there, so if you have an interest in the language, I recommend it.
He's
a lot of good resources.
There's a ton of stuff back. Yeah, those resources are amazing.
But he's also a musician.
And a great one.
And a very good computer programmer.
90% of the time has his guitar with him. The first time I met him, he taught us Tak Jajwo, 1993. He had just written the song, and I have a video of us trying to sing it, trying to sing the first verse. There was, I think he had the second and third verse, but there was no way he was going to teach us the second and third verse. We just did the first verse.
And it's not just three verses.
Eventually.
It's three parts in multi-meter counterpoint.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not just right. a song. Yeah, it's so much more.
The reason we can't sing parts two and three is because they're different than part one.
Yeah.
It's not as if these are three verses. You sing verse one, you sing verse two, you sing verse three.
No, you can.
They all get sung at the same time with different lines, different meters, different melodies.
It's when it works, it's awesome. I've rarely heard it perfectly work, but that's, I think, less Rich's fault and more ours.
It's hard to do it justice. The first time I met him was at Camp Dover.
Yeah.
And he had his guitar and he was going around playing. We were moving from party to party, singing songs and singing Taka Jazz
nice.
Whoa.
And
doing the hokey pokey. And still one of the funniest, not really Klingon language related, but he had just bought a new pair of gloves, had these nice big metal spikes on it. While he's playing his songs, he likes to tap against his guitar.
Oh my god.
So he's playing and he raps his knuckles and goes bang. And he put a row of like four little dice sized dents that almost went all the way through, and then he was like, okay, he's very gentle the rest of the time.
He has this, it's a really delicate little traveling guitar, mm-hmm. and yeah, they're very unique. Oh man.
It's so cute. It's like this tiny little guitar. And it's a full guitar, but it's just miniaturized.
I think every year Rich has done a different song that he's translated on the fly while sitting. Every Saturday night at Kepa we do a cabaret. And from beginner to expert, everybody, we try to get everybody to get up there and do something. It's if you get up and you spent the whole weekend working really hard on your get up there and show us how to say and we don't care. It's so much fun. And so every year he's sitting in a corner usually scribbling out lyrics, and then he'll get up and he'll play a new song almost every year. I think it was She Loves You this year by the Beatles.
Yellow Submarine. He did one year, Wild Thing.
While we were doing the traveling party, I had a conversation where I was like, I was very new with the language at the time, and I was like, so you just, making up songs as you go along? Because he was just sitting there humming and singing to himself. And he's like, I'm just demonstrate. So he starts strumming some random notes. And then he just sings a line. And then he pauses for a minute and sings another line and pauses. And he's translating some song about togs on the fly as he's making it up. And I was just like, that's what I want to be able to do. That skill is amazing. I can't play guitar, but at least I can I can write songs a little bit. So maybe him doing that probably helped inspire me to translate a lot of these songs.
He's quite a dude. Do you have a favorite translation of yours that you've done?
I would say for me, the favorite translation I've done would be Gian Tachvish. If you haven't seen it, the Klingon Rickroll.
Ah, yes.
If you haven't seen it, look it up. Look on YouTube, Klingon Rickroll.
Klingon Rickroll. It exists.
As a promotion for Klingon Christmas Carol.
In Chicago.
The producers put together a Klingon Rickroll, and they actually did, the song was lots of fun. The song is great. But in addition, they actually did a scene-for-scene video.
For shot.
So you can, there's small changes in the scenes, but if you play the two videos together, when they cut to the singers, it cuts to the singers. When it cuts to the bar, it cuts to the bar. When it, all of the things, it's the exact same, but different.
They had to go through a pretty nasty process too, I think. It got pulled, it got flagged almost within an hour or so of it getting put up, and they had to go through a, no, it's parody.
That was a major headache, yeah. But that was a fun one.
But it's excellent. So if you haven't seen it, pull it up.
It is really funny. It's and if
the
you
only
wanna...
Rick Roll worth watching.
I think my favorite song to sing is Love is a Battlefield. That's every time I get to that song in my set, I'm like, yes! I actually really, and Don't Stop Believin' Now is kind of a close second. That one is, Mavis did a great job with that translation, and it's right there. Bechar e yamef ko. Do not stop, I just love that. Do not stop. You believe. You believe and you will not stop. Oh, does anybody have any questions?
Can Kristen tell us his favorite of his own?
That would have to be KCC, Klingon Christmas Carol.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite. Out of everything I've done, that's probably my favorite. It was so much fun to work on. It was difficult, but it was also a lot of fun.
Klingon Christmas Carol is amazing. Chris, and I don't know how much you were involved in the creation of the original text, not the translation.
Laura Thurston and I did the quick and dirty translation.
But it's a great, not talking about the Klingon translation, but the cultural translation
the
Star Trek, what's that? Yeah, I thought you were. Yeah. Of taking the play of a Christmas Carol and turning it into a Klingon Christmas Carol. It's amazing. Did a lot of great references to the original Dickens work, great references to Star Trek. It's just really, really well done.
Getting the English script for the first time, reading through it, it was in stitches by the end. It's just so funny, and it weaves so much of what we know of Klingon culture into that story. But it also, it tells the original story, but it isn't the original. So different at the same time.
It's the reason I'm involved in the language. It is the adaptation.
Yes.
There we go.
Yeah. But if you can make it to Chicago for this year's, it's a heart wrench. You're going to be crying by the end of it.
It's you hear that amazing. Death howl scene gets you every time.
It does.
Really?
Oh, and it's even worse this time. I promise you. Actually, the scene that people are going to cry most on is the soldiers going to Stovokor scene.
Yes,
oh.
We've added an extra tearjerker on that.
Oh, fascinating.
Yeah. that would be good though. I don't make any suggestions, but I hope they think of that at some point, because that would be good. But it has to do with Tiny Tim. Tiny Tim comes back.
Oh,
it sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
Tiny Tim
returns.
Yeah.
He wouldn't stay dead.
This Christmas.
That's good.
Coming back for more.
Does anybody have any questions? Comments?
Songs you want to hear?
Songs you want to hear translated?
I do have one comment about group translation efforts.
Hmm.
If you can manage to recognize each person's specific strengths and not have people trying to do the same task in their own way.
Right.
You end up bumping heads when you do that, which is sometimes good in Klingon, but when you can find this person is really good at getting the meter to work, getting the stress patterns right. This person is like the best of the vocabulary. This person has a ridiculous encyclopedic knowledge of canon, and can bring out example phrases to show why this is the proper usage, that sort of thing.
Yeah. That actually, one of the fun translation things on My Heart Will Go On, which was done by Michael Roney Jr., who's usually here and he couldn't be here this year. In the original song of My Heart Will Go On, it's you are safe in my heart and my heart will go on, sort of the end of the chorus. And in the translation he did, instead of saying that, it's a Klingon, sort of a Klingon proverb or a Klingon type thing, and it's Bomde Iwij Kakao, right? Bomde Iwij Kakao. It means the memory of you sings in my blood. And I'm like, oh, it's a beautiful phrase. And when you're talking about translating something, that song I learned first when I helped to translate Mother. There's a part in Mother where the end of that chorus, Danzig goes, it's something like "Till you're bleeding." It's like the end of the end of the chorus line, and I said, "What if we take?" Because it's I can show you world till you're bleeding. How the hell does the chorus go? And I only can sing it in Klingon now.
Yeah, a lot of my songs, people go, "What's that in English?" Yeah, I don't remember Love is a Battlefield in English anymore.
It's a really, the chorus of that song, though, is kind of, it's like, you know, I'm going to show you what it's like till you're bleeding. It's like really kind of dirty and just rock and roll. And so I actually took this well-known Klingon phrase and we changed it to Bom de Ulej Chokow. The memory of me will sing in your blood. And so just by changing two small pieces, we flipped the meaning on it. It kind of flipped it, you know, changed the meaning of the proverb, but it really fit with the song because of how, like, the things that I had said before that. It's like, you know, I'm going to do this to you instead. And, like, the memory of me is going to sing in your blood. And so it was a way to still incorporate that concept of blood and then still use something that is very recognizably Klingon, but kind of flip it around. And I was really excited when I was like, ooh, what if we do this? And John was like, yeah. It had a few extra syllables in it, but we made it work. Yeah.
I was just thinking about the Klingon Christmas Carol again, and actually came up with a proverb in there. You know, where his nephew,
Vred,
comes to him, and I think it says in the original Dickens, it says, well, "Why are you sad? You're rich," and he says, "Why are you happy? You're poor." And we came up with a proverb there, basically. Why are you sad? Your hands are full. Why are you happy? Your hands are empty.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I write it on a lot of, I even put it on my things, the Bo Medun, Tap Medun. Mm-hmm. Great songs, great deeds.
Yes.
I have it on the back of my koozies. So. And that was one of my favorite moments in A Klingon Christmas Carol, is that Bom Medun, Tap Medun.
Yeah, we borrowed a lot of the Klingon way proverbs, tried to sneak them in there as much as we could.
Most of them fit very well. It's pretty good.
Most?
I can't think of any that don't. I just don't want to commit.
Klingons are never...
They almost get a little overpowering when Kela's past shows up. Almost.
But that's kind of, he's Kayla, so he should be speaking. Yeah.
Yeah. The ghosts speak half of the Klingon way in the play, but it's good.
I'm sure if we had the pock box when we were doing the translation, there would have been
might have done some pock
references
box.
For that as well.
Yeah.
When Kayla's past shows up, it's a great geek test in the audience, too.
Yeah.
Because it's the original series Klingon, and you get people going, what?
Well, I like the fact that at one point they were talking about working in, like, the Klingons from, like, Into Darkness and stuff like that, and starting to pull in some of the other references, so.
We had that last year in St.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Thank you.
Future Kalis was an Abrams-style Klingon.
Had the helmet.
I do not time. We're, you know what? We're right at about
45 minutes,
so we're pretty good.
Anybody else got any questions?
All right. Excellent.
Yeah. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
Woo!